Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take complex source material, could be code, research papers, maybe internal docs, and, well, we give you the essential insights, help you get informed fast.
Yep, cutting through the noise.
Exactly. Today, we're looking behind the curtain at something really fundamental to the modern web, user account infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. The login systems.
Right. We're analyzing the technical structure that handles how millions of users log in, sync their data, manage their identity across, you know, the whole Mozilla ecosystem.
And the big question is,
how does a system like this, handling sensitive user data, operate completely out in the open as open source?
It's a fascinating setup.
But first, just a quick word about the supporter of this deep dive, SafeServer. They take care of hosting software like this and support you in your digital transformation.
So if you need reliable performance, expert partnership.
SafeServer has you covered. You can find more information at www.safeserver.de.
Okay, so our source today, it's the actual GitHub monorepo for Mozilla accounts. You'll often see it abbreviated as FLAXA.
Right, FLAXA. That originally stood for Firefox accounts.
Exactly. And our mission today, especially for anyone maybe newer to this scale of development, is to make this, well, huge and complex project feel accessible.
We're going beyond just glancing at the code, though.
Oh, yeah. We're looking at the structure, the tooling they use, the sheer scale involved in running this core service.
Okay, let's unpack this. So we're drilling into a foundational piece of software. It absolutely has to be secure, scalable, and transparent.
No room for error there.
If you use Firefox, or really any related Mozilla service, this is the machine checking you are who you say you are.
The digital gatekeeper, in a way.
So let's start with that name, FLAXA Monorepo. We know FLAXA is the account service, but for our listeners maybe just starting out, what exactly is a monorepo? Why choose that for something like an accounts platform?
Right, good question. Think of a monorepo like one single massive folder, a giant directory that holds every single piece of a service.
Instead of lots of separate projects.
Yeah.
Exactly. Traditionally, you might have, I don't know, 30 different projects. One for the login page code, another for the payment backend, one for profile settings. Get the idea. Separate repositories.
Yeah.
A monorepo puts all of that into one place. And what's fascinating, or maybe really important here, is that this architecture kind of forces standardization.
How so?
Well, because everything lives together, you can ensure consistency across the entire platform much more easily. And that's critical when you're dealing with sensitive user data, right?
Ah, I see. So security auditing, testing
becomes much more rigorous, more efficient too. You can test interactions between components directly.
So it's not just about convenience. It's a strategic choice for consistency and control. And the sources confirm this whole thing is public on GitHub.
Yep. Under Mozilla FLAXA, and it operates under the MPL 2.0 license.
The Mozilla public license, that's significant, isn't it?
It really is. The MPL is designed to promote collaboration and shared innovation. It makes it clear this is fundamentally a community effort, even though Mozilla obviously guides it. And the documentation.
All centralized through the Firefox ecosystem platform. It's genuinely open for contributors.
And right there in the root directory of the repo, you see those key governance documents. Codeofconductkey.md, contributing.md.
And crucially, security.md.
Yeah. That tells you contributing isn't just about slinging code. It's about joining a shared framework, understanding the rules for participation, and importantly, protection.
Absolutely. There's a process.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit. Diving into the GitHub platform itself, the place where this project lives, actually gives us a huge shortcut. It shows us the kind of modern tools developers are using day to day.
Yeah, the environment around the code tells its own story.
This is where we can translate some of that, you know, platform marketing stuff into actual workflow insights.
Exactly. Let's talk automation first. The source material highlights features like code spaces.
Instant dev environments, right.
Right. And GitHub Actions, which automate workflows. This is basically the definition of modern CI/CD, continuous integration, continuous deployment.
Okay, but why does that specifically matter for FLAXA? What's the impact?
Well, think about the scale we're talking about. We'll get to the numbers, but spoiler, there are nearly 200 contributors.
Wow, okay.
Now, imagine if every single one of those contributors had to spend, say, 2 hours just setting up their local development environment correctly to match the project.
That adds up fast.
Hundreds of wasted hours every month. CodeSpaces basically solves that classic, what works on my machine problem instantly. Everyone builds and tests in an identical cloud-based environment.
Got it. So that speed, that consistency is essential for a project that moves as fast as user accounts need to.
Precisely. Fast setup enables fast, secure collaboration. And you mentioned security earlier.
Yeah, with logins and potentially payments involved, security can't be bolted on later.
Absolutely not. And the
Okay.
platform prominently features GitHub Advanced Security. Its whole purpose is to, quote, find and fix vulnerabilities automatically.
So that's DevSecOps in action.
Pretty much. It means security checks like scanning for accidentally committed secret keys or tracking dependencies for known flaws. They're woven right into the development pipeline from the start.
That kind of rigor must be non-negotiable when you're responsible for millions of accounts.
Totally. And we also see tools like GitHub Copilot mentioned for writing better code with AI.
Right. So for a beginner listening, what does that signal?
It signals that AI isn't just some futuristic theory. It's actively integrated into producing enterprise-grade secure systems right now. It's about enhancing quality and development speed.
Interesting. So Mozilla, known for being privacy-focused, still embraces tools that boost efficiency, even in these core identity
Yeah,
services.
the emphasis seems to be squarely on managing the sheer scale and the velocity this kind of critical project demands.
Okay, speaking of scale, let's look at the stats for this repository. The numbers are, well, they're pretty big. What does something like 34,241 commits tell us? Or 198 contributors?
It tells you this is a seriously high-velocity project with a long history. 34,000 commits. That's a massive historical record of changes. It shows sustained, high-intensity development over many, many years.
And the 198 contributors.
That number shows that while Mozilla is clearly steering the ship, the actual input, the code, comes from a broad, likely international community. It's not just a handful of people.
And it's still very active.
Oh, yeah. The source mentions 125 total releases, with the latest being V1.321.2, released very recently, October 16th, 2025. So this is a continuously updated living service, definitely not static legacy code.
Okay, so what language is all this activity happening in? The language breakdown usually gives a pretty strong signal about the tech stack.
Yeah, and the data here is conclusive. Overwhelmingly, this is a modern web application built on the Node.js ecosystem.
Meaning JavaScript and.
TypeScript mainly. We see TypeScript at 55.8% and JavaScript at 41.2%. So combined, that's what, nearly 97% of the entire system built on those two.
Wow, why is that significant? What does that tell us?
It tells us the platform is likely designed for speed, scalability, and crucially, developer safety. TypeScript adds static type checking on top of JavaScript.
Which helps catch errors.
Exactly. It's crucial for reducing bugs and increasing reliability, especially when you have almost 200 people potentially working in the same code base. Plus, this whole Node.js architecture supports fast, asynchronous operations, perfect for handling high volumes of account creations and logins simultaneously.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, let's drill down into the structure inside that monorepo. This is where we see the monorepo concept in practice, right? If everything's in one place, how on earth do they manage that complexity?
Right. This is where the real insight for a learner comes in. They don't just dump everything in one folder and hope for the best. They use specialized tools and very specific structures to govern this shared code base.
Like what?
Well, we see dedicated configuration files like ankdesk.json. Ankx is a build system, a tooling framework, specifically designed to manage huge, complex monorepos like this one.
What does Next actually do?
It handles things like dependency graphing, understanding which parts of the code affect which other parts. It manages caching build results. And critically, it allows you to run tests only on the components that actually changed, plus anything that depends on them.
Ah, okay. So instead of wasting time retesting the entire payment system when maybe only a tiny bit of the profile pave UI changed.
Exactly. Nekas intelligently figures out the minimum necessary work to verify a change. It's the operational secret sauce, keeping a repository this size sane and efficient.
Clever. What else points to managing complexity?
We also see governance infrastructure baked right in. For instance, there's a DocSAT folder. ADR stands for Architectural Decision Records.
So, like a logbook of big decisions.
Precisely. In a project this big, running this long with this many people, you absolutely cannot rely on tribal knowledge or memory. The ADR folder formally documents every major structural decision, why they chose approach A over approach B, the trade-offs considered.
That must be essential for bringing new people up to speed.
Essential. And for security and for long-term maintenance, everyone can understand the why behind the code, not just the what.
And looking inside the code folders themselves, you see things like apps payments sitting right alongside other components.
Yep. It confirms that critical infrastructure, like payment processing, is managed right there next to the core login logic, all under that same rigorous testing and tooling umbrella provided by the monorepo structure.
Okay, so that really brings us to our final takeaway then. You, the listener, should now have a much clearer picture of the Mozilla Accounts infrastructure. It's this massive, high-velocity, open-source monorepo.
Primarily built on a modern TypeScript and JavaScript stack.
And powered by really state-of-the-art automation, CI/CD, and strict DevSecOps tooling.
Yeah, it's quite the setup. And this raises, I think, an important question for you to consider going forward. Given that this entire critical project is managed in this very centralized, highly governed structure, using specialized tools like Nex, GitHub Advanced Security, documented ADRs, how does that architecture impact Mozilla's agility? How does it affect their ability to quickly pivot core product offerings while also maintaining that open, collaborative spirit demanded by the MPL 2.0 license?
That's a really interesting tension.
It is. It's this intersection of needing enterprise-grade security and velocity, but doing it within an open-source, community-involved context. It's fascinating.
An excellent thought to mull over. That complexity managing serious security and speed out in the open really is one of the defining challenges of modern software development, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, that's our deep dive for today. And a final reminder that this exploration was supported by SafeServer, your partner for hosting and digital transformation.
You can find more info, maybe start your own transformation at www.safeserver.de.
Thank you so much for joining us on the deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.